It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are here in their respective corners. We will talk about some changes for Cortana and Microsoft. The search for Windows 1809 continues. And, yes, some Xbox news. It's all coming up next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 594, recorded Wednesday, November 7th, 2018. The Warwick Blue Sox. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans, introducing Rate Shield Approval. If you're in the market to buy a home, Rate Shield Approval locks up your rate for up to 90 days while you shop. It's a real game changer. Learn more and get started at rocketmortgage.com/windows. And by Slide Belts by Brig Taylor. High-quality, comfortable ratchet belts that are easy to adjust. If you want a better belt, go to slidebelts.com/twit and use the code TWIT for 20% off. And by Capterra. Find software solutions for your business needs. Capterra is a free website with over 600 categories of business software. Don't forget to visit Capterra.com/windows to get your free copy of the big book of free software. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news from Microsoft with the two most...
Those two.
Most two fake news purveyors. Mr. Paul Thurrott from Thurrott.com. No, nothing but real news here. Mary Jo Foley from AllAboutMicrosoft.com. Hello, Paul and Mary Jo. How are you today?
Hello, Leo.
Good to see you. We were, before the show began, watching Samsung's event. They're having a developer event in San Francisco. There was rumors they might announce, perhaps, a new foldable phone. We'll keep an eye. If they do, I'll go to their
I bet they say something.
Yeah.
They should. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and Paul was pointing out before the show began that Google posted a blog post just minutes ago talking about how foldable phones' UIs should work with Android. So that sounds to me like they know something.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. But I will keep an eye on the event. If anything happens, I'll let you know. So, anything exciting to talk about today?
No, but we do have several other things we can talk about.
We have some non-exciting things.
Yeah, it's been that kind of week.
Yeah, that's all right. You know, you do your best.
Mm-hmm.
You can't always control.
You have to go to war with the army you got, you know?
Yeah.
You do.
That's right. So let's kick things off with Javier Soltero. Who's that, Mary Jo?
Yeah, Javier Soltero is the guy Microsoft acquired when they acquired Acompli. Remember that 4 years ago?
Love Acompli.
Yep. Right. Everyone loved Acompli. And so Microsoft bought the company. They turned that into Outlook Mobile. And this guy got promoted through the ranks at Microsoft. He was like on the short list of kind of high profile favorites of Satya Nadella. And everybody's like, oh, he's going places. So
yeah,
in March
is.
This year, he was. He is going places.
Yep.
Not what we thought, though. in March this year, they made him the head of Cortana. And I think they were kind of hoping, you know, lightning could strike twice. And he did such a great job with Outlook Mobile that maybe he could save Cortana, too. And then yesterday, he publicly told people inside Microsoft that he was going to leave the company by the end of this calendar year.
Guess who vested?
I was just going to say that. I guess his stock vesting was on a four-year plan, was it?
Guess who vested?
Was it?
Well, I hope he...
But, you know, it might be the case that, yes, he vested. It might be the case that he saw what they were going to do with Cortana, and he was like, yeah, I'm not really that interested in doing that, you know?
Yeah, right.
Because originally, you know, Cortana was going to be like Siri, like Alexa, standalone... personal digital assistant, kind of the future wave of AI at Microsoft. And then last month, we found out they moved Cortana from the AI and research team into the organization that's responsible for Office 365. So that basically confirmed what we had been thinking, that Cortana is going to become more of an embedded feature of Office, basically, than it is going to be a standalone personal digital assistant that's going to compete head to head with the others. So he may have just said, yeah, I'm not that interested.
Yeah.
how long ago did he take over Cortana? When was that?
March.
Yeah,
March this year.
So it's funny because as we were watching the Samsung event, they announced that they're going to put $22 billion into AI. They're hiring 1,000 data scientists. Yeah. They opened up Bixby to third-party developers. I mean, Samsung's going the exact opposite direction. They're making Bixby be part of everything. It's their almost a backbone to their to their strategy.
Well, they might be going in the same direction.
If Microsoft's saying, okay, we don't want to compete. We want to cooperate.
Microsoft would love to compete. I think this is the classic issue from Cortana's beginnings. It's just not attached to anything that helps it gain mass acceptance. You know,
right.
Samsung sells tens of Samsung sells so many phones, and Bixby is just it's built in. You can't replace it. Really,
it's got its own button.
It has its own hardware button. It's kind of hard to beat that. You know, Siri has the same thing on the Apple devices. It's just Microsoft just doesn't have a way to compete with that. And
although you look at what Google. Samsung's doing, I mean, it's not just the phone. They're putting in their TVs. They're putting it in refrigerators. They're putting I guess Microsoft doesn't make TVs or refrigerators either. So
maybe don't give them ideas, Leo.
they don't make them, but they're trying to ally themselves with people who make them. And for a while, they were really trying to get everybody to put Cortana in everything, like in cars and refrigerators and everything. And then that just kind of fell away a little before the time that they announced they were doing that partnership with Amazon.
Echo. See, I wonder if their Echo strategy is what they want to do with Bixby and everybody else and Siri and Google is just kind of be the intermediary to those.
I feel like, years from now, maybe, that we'll find out the chicken and the egg on this stuff. But, you know, Cortana kind of failed on a number of levels, and one of them was just the acceptance factor. But I mean that with partners, too. It's not just with consumers. Like, we didn't see a lot of companies adopting the technology, like Mary Jo said. But the other half of this, and it's important to really remember this, is they did very little to advance Cortana as a viable assistant compared to the market leaders. And it's always been behind. It's always been a year or two behind certain features. And I don't know who to blame. I'm not, or whether it even makes sense to blame a person or a thing. I'm not really sure. But these things kind of together, I think, contributed to the situation we have today.
Yeah. I mean, they came out with a skills kit. And they came out with it late. They originally were going to come out with it a few months earlier. But even after they came out with it, they only had a few hundred skills where already had like what? Like 50, multiple
thousands. Of thousands.
Thousands,
tens of thousands.
I feel like at the beginning they were kind of at the same level as everyone, and then they just fell way behind. And part of it is the phone for sure. Like not having a phone. That was huge.
Yeah, not having a phone was killer for sure.
It was.
I don't know. Even the skills thing, I don't feel like that was all that nipping the heels of anybody. I mean, Microsoft didn't come. When did Cortana come out with Windows Phone 8 in 2012 or something?
Years ago.
Many, many years ago. The uptick has just always been slow. It's just the way it's gone.
But for a while, it did look like they were all in. Like they were integrating it everywhere. Remember, there was like, they were going to have it in Dynamics. They were going to have it here, there. It was like going to be everywhere. And then you kind of stopped hearing about that.
We're never going to stop hearing it in Windows Setup. You know, this woman's voice is skidding and scatting across, telling us about stuff nobody wants. You can't, to turn it off, you have to know to click a picture of a microphone, which has nothing to do with volume. It's crazy.
One thing I do want to make clear to people, because I saw some headlines yesterday when this happened. They're like, oh, that means that's it. They're dumping Cortana. Nope, they're not, actually. But they're changing what it is, and they're changing how they're going at the problem. So, I think we'll still keep hearing about it, and it'll get integrated into all things Office. It'll get into, To-Do. It'll get into all these Microsoft products that are more on the productivity and task completion side, for sure. There still could be more devices with it built in coming from OEMs and maybe even from Microsoft. Who knows? I feel like it's not going to go away. They've got two guys now who are going to run it underneath Rajesh Jha. So Rajesh Jha is the guy who runs experiences and devices at Microsoft. So he runs Surface, he runs Office, he runs Microsoft 365, the Windows experiences stuff. Like, he's in charge of all that. And now he has this too. And he's got two guys he's putting in charge of it, I hear, through the grapevine. And one of them is the guy who's been in charge of Cortana engineering all along. His name is Andrew Schumann. The other guy is, let me look it up because somebody told me this, Nitin Agrawal, who is a distinguished engineer at Microsoft, who has a lot of experience in search and natural language processing, deep learning. So they're definitely going to keep this around, and they're going to make it part of their AI strategy. It's not going to just be like, eh, and that's the end of it. But it's not going to be a consumer-facing
It shouldn't go away. I mean, in the same sense that Samsung wants to get its stuff across all of its products, mm-hmm. In some ways, putting it into the same group that does the Microsoft 365 makes sense, because you do want this across all those products, yeah. You know?
Yeah. I hear Cortana is going to become the new Skype lady.
Well, the problem, there are lots of problems, but as far as, you know, consumer acceptance and so forth, I think this battle is over. PC makers are embracing Alexa. I just got an Intel NUC. The new version has far-field microphones built into the sides of it, and they specifically call out the fact that they're going to sell these things with Alexa. That's what it's for.
Yeah.
It will probably work with Cortana.
Yeah.
But, you know, consumers
really
have kind
interesting.
Of spoke.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just the way it's gone. I mean, the link up with Amazon on Alexa may very well just be a pragmatic move on Microsoft's part to, you know, basically acknowledge that that's the consumer play they can do, in the same way that they can kind of embrace Android and extend the ecosystem in the way that they can on iOS. They can't really break it. They can't get into Google Assistant. You know,
it's smart for them to cut bait now and just say, look, we could see the writing on the wall.
It does feel like that.
Well, as a consumer product, but like Mary Jo said, I think this thing
is productivity
still,
applications for it, yes.
Well, they have, look, Microsoft has actually probably decades of voice recognition experience. They are still one of the handful of companies who has any kind of AI expertise that can actually make something like this that makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
The goal should be, you know, how do we get this into the products that make the most sense and to the customer bases that make the most sense, primarily the enterprise.
Mm-hmm. So
I'm sure that's what they're working on. I'm sure that's the point of why Javier didn't want to stay. He wasn't interested in being another cog in that giant wheel.
Right now at the Samsung developers event, they're talking about how good their screen technology is and how far it's come. And I'm thinking,
would you say that their screen technology is flexible?
I'm thinking they might be talking along that lines. They're selling how well the Galaxy Note did, despite people laughing at the size of the phone. And as an early Note adapter, I can absolutely testify. People always mocked me when I whipped out my Note, but now everybody has giant phablets.
When you slap that iPad on the side of your head to make a phone call.
So I feel like they're leading up to talking about their OLED technologies, that they're leading up to something here. So let's just listen in real quickly.
Outside the box, literally.
This is Hassan Ajam, who's a product marketing guy. I think I have too many open. Let me close one of the windows here. Oh, they're using white gloves. You know what that means.
What?
I don't know. They don't want to get dusty.
The president of Samsung is going to drive up in his 37 Rolls Royce.
Earlier, one of the Bixby guys, who was actually one of the early developers of Siri, did a fun thing. He did a magic trick.
So you're probably noticing a trend here.
All right, here we go.
Yet again, we set the standard for smartphone design, this time with Infinity Display.
Infinity Display.
So why do we obsess about display innovation? Because it matters to you, our consumers.
See the screen?
And that means it matters to us. So we're going to keep going.
Oh.
The bezels are going to shrink even further. We're going to push the limits with our new lineup.
I don't think they can.
The Infinity UV.
Our current screens
displays.
Stink.
These are new concepts that are just right around the corner, and I can't wait to tell you more about them.
Infinity
displays. AMOLED, Edge, and Infinity Display. Our breakthroughs have set the tone for the industry. And not only that, they've led to entirely new ways
Samsung's
of how folks
really
are using
good at
their
dragging
smartphone.
This stuff out, I have to point out.
Yep.
We've turned the industry upside down in the past.
Now we're going
to
turn it inside out.
Now we're going to fold it in half.
I'm so excited about our next breakthrough, the foldable display.
There it is.
And to tell you more about it, here's Justin Dennison.
Here's Justin Bieber.
SVP of Mobile Product Marketing
at
Samsung.
It makes me proud when I think of all the industry-leading displays.
All right. There's
going to
be a lot
market.
Of crap for a while. I'll let you go on, and then if they actually show something, we can go back to it. Unless you want to watch.
Well, you know, maybe we should talk, since this is Windows Weekly, about why we care about
yes.
the full thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Project Andromeda, right?
Project Andromeda was supposed to be a foldable phone-like device. And as we know, Microsoft's put it on hold, maybe permanently. It may never come out from the Surface team. But they're still doing things inside the operating system, we keep hearing, that would support foldable devices or flexible devices or devices with dual screens. So we think, even if they never come out with the thing that we all thought was going to be this Andromeda device, they'll still have support for OEMs who might build these kinds of things in Windows 10, and they themselves may someday have some kind of a successor to Andromeda.
So now they're talking about how they can bend the screen around, and of course they do that starting with the S6, and all the Samsung phones now have kind of curved OLED screens that go around the edge. But they're not alone in this. Pretty much everybody else is doing it too. That music usually means either it's time to get visibly comfortable, or
you're really burned by this phrase.
Yeah, it seems
what happened
to be
to you?
An infelicitous translation from Korean.
It does.
Be visibly
put on
comfortable.
Your white gloves.
Yeah, be visibly. Please enter this train cabin and be visibly comfortable. Thank you.
Wow. Today is a big milestone. And I'm sure you're all wondering what it looks like in real life and how it works. Well, wonder no more.
Here it is. He's pulling something out of his pocket. Oh, my God. It's the big reveal.
He's got a gun. Oh, it's
they
a.
He turned out all the lights. It's really thick.
It's a remote
it's
clicker.
A tablet.
Okay, so there it is.
A big screen.
So there's a screen on the front, which looks like a phone, except that it's a phone that's about triple thick because it also opens up to a single screen.
It's gorgeous.
Which is.
When closed?
What do you think the dimensions are of that?
Yeah.
It's a phone that fits neatly inside your pocket.
Well.
Thank you.
It's a dry eraser.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. That's all there is. We're done.
I'd get in trouble if I showed you everything today.
Yeah.
So we've disguised the elements of the design. But trust me, there's a device inside here.
Or maybe that's why it looked so ugly.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's not an Amazon device.
It represents an entirely new mobile platform.
All right. I think that's enough from them. But there you go. They did announce a phone. And I gather it'll be available next year. So that's why Google is responding to that.
Yeah, that's what Google apparently says somewhere. I didn't see it myself. But supposedly they said that Samsung would ship this in 2019.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Yep.
Speaking of things that will ship in 2019, what's going on with Windows 10 version 1809? My first ever segue, ladies and gentlemen.
Is it out?
No.
Are we there yet?
No. Still not there yet.
No. Yep. Are there more showstoppers?
We haven't heard of any this week, right? No new ones.
Yeah, we haven't heard anything this week. I mean,
literally have heard nothing this week about it.
Yeah, the absence of sound is pretty much the theme of this release.
Yeah. So 1809, which was scheduled to come out in September, came out in October for one brief shining moment. Then it turned out.
The good old days.
The good old days, we call them. Turned out.
Over a month ago, by the way.
Deleted some files and some unusual edge cases. Then there was another bug that was less unusual with file deletion and zip files.
Yep.
They yanked it back.
By the way, they fixed both of them.
They fixed those. Yep.
In the insiders build, they're fixed.
Yep.
Yep.
So if you're an insider, you have. In fact, I have 1809 on my Lenovo, and you know, it was.
I think it's fixed for you.
Your computer hasn't crashed into a wall or something. Nothing
terrible's happened. But then I'm not. Right. I'm not doing those things. So
yes.
So I don't know.
And I think they did fix it for people who did manage to get it because they rolled out a cumulative update, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, we'll do what we do every week, which is say, you know, Tuesday just happened and we kind of thought it might have been Tuesday. And then, well, Friday's coming and you never know. But next Tuesday, of course, is Patch Tuesday. Uh-huh. And it seems like kind of an obvious time to release a version of Windows 10 that was code complete or feature complete in August. It was finalized in September, was released in October.
Pulled in October.
Is still not available. Yes, so it's just
okay.
And you know, a lot of people have been asking Paul and I on Twitter. They're like, "Okay, if you guys are under NDA, can you just say you know when it's coming
just
or something?"
Your
we
ear.
Don't know.
Just tug your
We
ear.
Don't know.
We're not under NDA. They have literally talked to nobody. This is my problem with this. It's not the delay, which is embarrassing and bad. It's that they're not saying anything at all. It's been several weeks now. I think 3 weeks. Since they've said anything about this build. In that time period, I believe they released four new builds of the next version of Windows 10.
Yeah.
I feel very strongly about this topic. You know, you got to be transparent here.
I know. And I had somebody ask me today a real question. They're like, so do you think they're just going to skip 1809 and go on to 19H1?
No.
Yeah. I'm like, no, I think it's going to be Patch Tuesday. But you know what? If it isn't, you got to actually start thinking they've got to say something because where is it? You know?
Oh, can you imagine? Next Tuesday goes by without anything. Our worlds are going to implode.
I'm thinking that they think by not saying anything, they're kind of just keeping this out of the view of normal users. And it's like nothing to see here, guys, you know? Blah.
And normal users, as we talked about last week, probably aren't even, you know, they're not tapping their fingers waiting.
No, I don't think so.
They don't care.
No.
Yep.
No.
They don't even know.
Sure.
But the people who do know are like, hey, where is it? You know, like,
I know
what do they
know
that we don't know?
That they know.
Right.
That we know.
Yeah.
We know what you know.
I see the UPS man has arrived.
Oh, my God. What happened? There's
Santa.
A giant pile of boxes in front of me.
Santa came early.
These must be Apple Watch bands. No, those are the pencils. Should I open just anything? Should I just wait? This is Windows Weekly, and these all seem to be from a company named AI.
Right.
Artificial intelligence?
Who's that?
Maybe it's from Cortana.
Could be. She sent you a little package.
This isn't all of them, by the way.
Well,
Lisa's already taken hers. So go ahead, Paul. What were you saying?
Where is he? Where's Waldo?
I feel like Apple has taken over the world.
You know, I'm actually a little not happy with Apple these days a little bit. Not to mention the fact that they just
because of the various
bent my credit card in half.
Yeah.
They took us our Twit Live down because we had the temerity to comment to rebroadcast their event. So,
Hey, Leo, buddy.
What? Are those in the, you having a hard time seeing there?
Paul? I can't see his eyes.
Oh,
I feel
sorry.
Like I'm choking on cardboard here.
There, now
there you go.
Now you
can
see his
see
eyes.
Him.
I'll get him out of your way. I shouldn't.
It's like the what's that thing with the eyes over the with the nose? Big
Mr. Potato Head.
I have Bixby in my head. It's Kilroy was here.
Kilroy was here. Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, Kilroy was here. It was the GI graffiti during World War II.
Yeah,
they draw the little head, the fingers, the nose, and memory lane. Do you want to see? I have a pencil. Do you want to see a pencil? I got this specially.
No, Leo. See, let me show you something.
Yeah,
this is a Surface Pen. It's had a flat side for a long time. See that? It also, by the way, magnets.
It has magnets. Yeah.
Oh,
it doesn't roll on a table.
Yours. does yours? Let's see. Charge when it's magnetically attached?
No, Leo. Ours doesn't need to be charged. It works for a really long time.
Oh, never mind. Oh, I know what yours doesn't have. Yours doesn't have.
It's not white.
It doesn't have the special engraved message.
No. It does have an eraser, though, in the end. Yeah, that's kind of a neat feature.
Look, it says.
It's also a little clickable button.
Dream girl.
Oh, yikes. Dream girl? What?
It's an inside joke.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you actually get that? You can get that engraved?
Yeah. But it's really tiny. Boy. Dream. You can't even really see it. Dream girl. But this way, I got mine says, this is for Megan. Mine says dream boy. It's a long story. It has to do with the keynote and all that, so I won't belabor it. Is there any other Windows news? Yeah. Let me take a break. Actually, you know what? This would be a good time so that you guys can go be nauseous on your own time. I will take a break. And
I understand
come back.
The excitement of the day, Leo.
No. I'm not. No, you know what? That's it. That's all I'm going to open today. Every day, it's going to be like
all I needed to see
Advent
was the calendar. Pencil.
Every day, I'll
Each
open another
day,
box
from one
Apple
box.
Until Christmas. Until Christmas Day. Yeah. Be very exciting. Oh, you want to compare them? Yeah, yours is smaller and nicer. To be honest. That's all right. I don't want to compare them. I'm going to do an ad and we'll come back. More of Mary Jo and Paul Thurrott. No more of Apple.
Oh, actually, we do have an Apple thing later in the notes.
Oh, crap. So we will have more Windows 10 in a moment. Our show today brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. You know, when I bought all this stuff from Apple, I had to take out a home loan.
Yep.
The biggest check I've ever written. No, I didn't. But it is that loan, that home loan, that is a big deal when you're buying a house, man. That is a scary moment when you write that down payment check and you're on the hook for all that money. And it's like, wow, it's one of the most important purchases you'll ever make, too, because this is where you and your family are going to live for a long time. Rocket Mortgage wants to take some of the anxiety out of it by making the home loan process nice, friendly, easy, designed to fit you and your needs. That's how Rocket Mortgage got to be number one in customer satisfaction 8 years in a row, according to J.D. Power. They're also number one in volume as of December, which is great. That just shows good guys can win. Not the big bank. That's who they eclipsed. That's who we got our loan from 5 years ago. I'm not bitter, but we applied in August. We didn't get into the house until October because the bank just took so darn long, more than 2 months to process our loan. And they kept coming back and saying, well, now we need this document and that document. We were faxing stuff from vacation. We had to enlist the support of Debbie's sister to find documents and fax. It was crazy. Next time, I promise you, Quicken Loans and Rocket Mortgage, the entirely online mortgage approval process. You could do the whole thing on your computer. You could do the whole thing on your phone. You could do it at an open house. It's a three-step process. It's fast. It's easy. There's no big application, no trip to the bank or a lender. You do it all at rocketmortgage.com/windows. And the step one, it's called the power buying process. Step one, you answer a few simple questions. You don't even have to do research, you know, your name, address, birth date, social security number, that kind of thing. They will then do a credit check on you and say, these are the loans you qualify for. You choose the term, the down payment, the rate, and you're in. That's called pre-qualified approval. That took less than 10 minutes. Not 2 months, 10 minutes. Then, over the next 24 hours, a loan officer will verify income, assets, and credit, and they'll do it in most cases without your help at all. They have trusted relationships with all the financial institutions. They can get everything they need. And within 24 hours, they'll give you verified approval. Now, that you even get a button that says print the letter. You can print out a letter. You can give it to your realtor or, better yet, to the person whose house you want to buy. It says they're good for it. You get you're the strength of a cash buyer right there on that letter. They're good for it. They got the loan. They got the money. Give them the house. Come on. There's no contingency. That's huge. When we were home hunting 5 years ago, the house we really wanted, we didn't get because we put in an offer and everything. But, you know, as in those days, the offer was, well, as long as the bank with the stagecoach and the whips gives us the money, we'll buy this house. It was called a contingency offer. That's most of the time what you do. Somebody comes along with cash, takes it right out from under us. Because if you're the seller, who are you going to go with? That's why this verified approval is so important. The seller looks at you and goes, ah, no contingency. They're good for it. But then step three comes. And this is something that's unique to this particular time. interest rates hadn't been going up for a while, but they are now. They're ticking up. And that means as you shop for a house, there's always this pressure, this anxiety that the rates are going to go up. So that's when the rate, once you get the verified approval, you qualify for the all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. This is step three. They lock the rate. Say that loan, we will not raise the rate. Rates can go up. We will not raise your rate. You have up to 90 days to shop. You can. You don't have to worry. Your rate's not going to go up. If rates go down, your rate will go down. That's nice, but they can't go up. It's exactly what makes Rocket Mortgage and Quicken Loans the number one lender in the country. Customer satisfaction. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/windows. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states, NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030. Here's what you do. Go to rocketmortgage.com/windows. We thank them for making Windows Weekly a reality. You know what I got here, by the way? I didn't show you this. I got a loaner from Huawei.
Yeah.
This is the MateBook 10 Pro or X Pro.
That's beautiful.
It is. This is what Apple should have done.
Yep.
And the reason I asked for the loaner is because, you know, I got this new MacBook Air. I want to compare. This is a
There's only one problem with that device, and it's a little pop-up camera and the keyboard.
Right there.
Other than that, this is almost the perfect laptop.
I agree. It feels good. This got a very nice keyboard, touch screen, beautiful. Yep. Look how edge-to-edge that bezel is. I mean, it's incredible. There's very little bezel. That's why you have to put the camera in here, sure. Because there's nowhere to put it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
But
although that will change, right? I mean, over time,
they should, you know,
they'll probably be able to embed it right in the.
You think a notch?
Yeah, or well, yeah, they could do a notch. Yeah.
Fingerprint reader, pop-up thing. Exactly where you know where it should be. Mm-hmm. Speakers. It sounds good. There's a couple of little things that are a little weird. The fan blows this way,
yeah.
Right in your face.
Yeah. It's nice for those cold winter nights, though.
It is a real processor. It's a U processor, not this weird Y thing that Apple's using. Sure. I just feel like that's what the MacBook Air could have been instead. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Apple didn't really innovate. They just kind of said, well, for you guys who like it, here's another one.
Yeah.
So
innovate, bloviate. What's the difference? Yeah.
I think all the innovation's happening on the Windows side now. There's no question in my mind.
Crazy.
Even that NUC you got, Paul, probably is better than the Mac Mini.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
Right?
I mean, the basic story hasn't changed in 2 years since I did the first NUC that I did. Obviously, you benefit from the processor generations. It's a U-series chip, but they run it at a higher 28 watts as opposed to 15. So it actually allows the thing to run it. Higher sustained speeds, and you know, obviously, there's a fan and a cooler, but it's just kind of amazing. It has those far field microphones, like I said earlier, and then because of Thunderbolt 3, you could do it, and of course, you could do this on a Mac Mini too. But you could connect it to a Thunderbolt hub, which I have an awesome one from HP. You could connect it to an external GPU and turn it into a little gaming PC. It's super versatile.
Oh well.
It's also only $500, but you know, don't let that
stop.
Don't let that bother you.
I won't let that bother me. Moving right along, there is other Windows news.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new build today.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem like. I mean, nowadays there's so many builds so often. It doesn't seem like breaking news. Let's put it that way.
Also, what's coming out still is just very incremental stuff in these builds, right? I mean,
it's all good.
I mean,
is this for 19H1? Is that what
19H1? Yep.
Yeah, it's in keeping, I would say, with the past two releases, right? There's some nice fit and finish stuff going on. We're mm-hmm. in an embarrassing phase with Windows in some ways, where they're kind of bringing back features we used to have. You know, they're mm-hmm. still working on like making high DPI better, making the ability to change text size, you know, like we used to have back in, I don't know, XP or something. Mm-hmm. You know, so we have some of that stuff going on, but I'm not complaining. The truth is, this is the kind of thing I think Windows does benefit from, and this is the fit and finish work that I think Microsoft often doesn't undertake. So it's actually good to see this kind of thing.
Yeah, it is. There's nothing huge to call out, though. There's a preview of new emoji, though. That's something you might want to call out.
Well, we all get new emojis. Thanks
Surprise,
to
I
the
forgot that.
Emoji Committee of the Unicode Consortium.
Yeah, the Star Chamber, as we call it now.
Doing the good work once again. Red
yeah,
lobster.
There's like there's mostly just like settings, like settings tweaks, you know, like Focus Assist now will automatically turn on if you are running any app in full screen so that you won't be disturbed because you're all absorbed in the app. So yeah, like kind of small things, a slider in the activity center for brightness.
Yeah, that display blurring, non-blurring, I guess the fix for display blurring on certain apps is just going to be on by default, as it should be. So that's smart.
It's good. You know? Yep.
Yeah, it's all good stuff.
Yeah,
except for the emojis.
But does the box look like this?
No. Dude, that looks, what is that? That's like psychedelic vomit. What am I, what is?
Yeah, I think it is.
It's, you might want to see a doctor if that's what comes
Spinal
out.
Spinal Tap album. I don't know.
Is that wild? Is that a cover? Keyboard cover?
No, this is the iPad Pro box.
How come it looks so weird?
How come it looks so weird, says Mary Jo Foley. Clearly a biased member of the press.
Mm-hmm. Clearly fake
news. Look at those bezels.
How
you know, compared
that?
To that Huawei machine you were just showing.
They're giant. But you know what the Huawei machine doesn't have that this has?
A pencil.
Curved corners.
That's true.
They acted like they had cured cancer. You notice the corners. Yeah.
We finally achieved the corner that Steve Jobs wanted because he was so into rounded rectangles. And it's the precise angle that he specified.
Oh, I'm sure it is. In his will, he said, thou shalt
I just want to point out, looking at that photo, the angle of the screen corners does not look the same as the device corners, which I believe is something they pointed out was happening.
Okay, well, maybe the picture's wrong, although that would seem odd.
Right, but you see what I'm saying, right? Yeah. It doesn't seem like it's
curve.
The same. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, I'm going to play Santa Claus and bring this down the hall to Megan while you guys blather on about Windows. Go ahead.
I'll take one, and then
Mary Jo can take the next one. How does that sound?
All right. Go for it. Go for outings, because I didn't even write about that.
Yeah, I didn't either, so this is going to be brief. but actually, this appears to be a thing I've been kind of asking for, and I think this is one of the rare applications for Windows Mixed Reality or any kind of Mixed Reality / VR type headset like the Google stuff or whatever that I think makes some sense. And it's a way to virtually view, in this case, kind of like tourist locations around the world, right? So it's a virtual tour of different places. And I think that's a fantastic idea. You know, some people just don't have the means or the desire to undergo the travel to see places. And if something like this can bring that to them, I don't think it's lazy in any way. I think it's wonderful. I think this is kind of a neat thing. So it's potentially
cool. It's an app, right? It's an app called Outings. Is that right?
Yeah, Microsoft Outings for Windows Mixed Reality. And it's, you can see, you know, cities like Seattle and Chicago, New York, whatever. And then they have locations within those cities. And it's just a way to, I guess this was previously, interestingly, this was also available on Android and iOS, but now it's available on Windows Mixed Reality.
Is this a garage app? Do you know?
it is.
Something. It is.
Yep. Microsoft Outings.
Yep.
It's good.
Well, the name maybe is a little ambiguous.
Yeah, I thought so too.
It's a little strange. Strange choice.
It's hard to find good brand names probably now.
All the good names are
taken.
.com.
Yeah, like all the good domains have been taken. Yeah.
The Surface Go, which I have to admit. Now, you, Mary Jo, did you get one? I can't remember.
Yep, I did. I bought one
and I kept it.
You know, I do use it. I take it with me when I go somewhere and I think I might possibly need to edit or write something and I don't want to carry the whole laptop.
It is nice and light, I have to admit.
It is.
Yeah.
Yep. However, yeah, so originally when they announced
sluggish.
It.
I just.
Yeah, it's sluggish. It is sluggish. But what I did was I took it out of Windows 10 S and. No, Windows 10 Home in S mode, and I moved it to plain old Windows 10 Home, and then I put Chrome on it, and I like it much better.
Yeah.
Aha! That's the key. And now they're selling this slightly, is this,
Why are there t-shirts on your website, Mary Jo?
I thought at first Paul Thurrott was doing the graphics for you.
Know.
But no, that's an ad.
Because Surface Go is a dog. Get it?
Actually, I want this. I think this is good. I'm going to buy this so that ZD keeps Mary Jo employed.
Thanks.
From Clothing Monster, dog t-shirts. So is this a lower end or a higher end variant of the Surface Go?
So it's kind of right in the middle. When they introduced Surface Go, there were two models. There was the 4 gig RAM, 64 gig of eMMC storage one that was $399. Then they had the higher end one, which I bought, 8 gig of RAM, 128 gig of SSD storage that was $549. So now they have the one that's in the middle, which is 4 gigs of RAM, 128 gigs of storage at $499, starting at $499, without the keyboard. Yeah. And this is, interestingly, this model was sold by Costco exclusively when the Surface Go was announced. Right. And you couldn't get it from Microsoft, but as of this week, or I guess it was actually last week, you can now buy this model from Microsoft directly.
I feel like you'd be better off with the RAM than the storage. You know, that the big, the processor's terrible.
I never store anything on it. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Like you could really benefit from having the extra RAM on such a low-end device.
Yeah, you don't...
And you can just store in the cloud, right?
It's like,
yeah.
So 128 is plenty.
It is.
64
I feel like
would
it's
be
plenty.
Plenty, probably, right?
Yeah, I think it would. Yeah.
But 8 gigs would be of RAM would be very nice.
Mm-hmm. Just want to point out that they're only charging $50 for both of those upgrades. And, you know, what does Apple charge for...
Oh, my God, you don't even know. The trick with...
For RAM and storage upgrades, does anyone know?
The trick with buying Apple stuff is never to think about the price.
It's funny
That's
you say
trickle,
that,
right?
Because I bought a MacBook Air, and my wife asked me about the price.
Oh, Lord.
And we did not have a good conversation.
It's outrageous. This mate with an i7, 16 gigs of RAM, and a 256 gig hard drive, I think it's $1,699.
Yeah.
A similar.
You know what you get for that?
Yeah. This is I paid $1,799 for the MacBook Air.
Sure.
With a Y processor. I don't know.
We'll see. It will be fine.
See, mine's gold though. That's nice.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
There is now a pile of empty boxes off camera. Do you want to see this? Just
not really.
Come on. What color did you get, Paul?
What's that?
What color did you get?
Oh, I got a normal manly color, Leo. I got space gray.
Space gray.
I think they call it.
What are you, an astronaut?
I like the normal colors. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I know.
Is it rose gold or gold?
No, it's just gold.
Does it look like is it a copper gold or a bronze gold?
I don't know.
Is it brushed brass?
Yeah, it's gold. Exactly. Gold.
It looks like it's made out of solid 24 karat. The most beautiful.
Oh, well, that would
gold.
Explain the price.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is, you know, I have to say,
it's got screws on the bottom.
Similar
it's nice.
In many ways to this mate. We'll do a head-to-head comparison. But, you know, the mate has a better keyboard, I can tell you. One of the things I do like, however, about the Mac is that they got rid of, at least on this, they got rid of that lame touch bar.
Yeah. Yeah.
That thing is such
it's actually the best thing about this device that they have Touch ID and not the other thing.
Yeah. 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 Much like a Huawei.
Whose name will never be spoken.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, it's, you know what? It's a nostalgia play. It's like buying a Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
It reminds me of 2000.
That's why I bought a new Beetle.
Exactly. Reminds me of the good old days when. Oh, it's doing the thing that Windows does too, which talks to you if you don't.
Oh no, is it
really? That's because you didn't respond to it long enough or quickly enough.
I don't like the talking.
The one thing that's really changed with mobile devices. This is not just an Apple thing, although it's really prominent on Apple devices too. Is the number of steps you have to go through when you first set up one of these devices is astronomical, and this is something that's kind of escalated over time.
Yeah, yeah.
Windows 10 has like three steps. It's just like the simplest thing in the world. Oh. It does talk to you too much, but
okay.
Android, iOS.
I wish you had this, though.
The Mac. It takes a long time.
Gold.
Yeah, the gold stickers, yeah.
Gold apples. Gold apples.
Those will look nice in the drawer with my other Apple stickers, because yeah, I would never put that on anything.
Apples. I know.
I'd like to advertise that I spend too much money on things. Maybe you want to break into my car.
Put that in the window. Exactly. Yeah. I see people do that and go, are you insane?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
is that like the like tap
idea.
Here to break glass? Is that what that thing means?
Yeah. Are you nuts? And it's a strange kind of loyalty. It's like it's like you know, putting your 49ers or your Patriots sticker in the car.
I don't think it is like that, because you know, I don't pay extra because I like the Patriots, right? It's not an Apple product. I don't know that there's anything quite like this, to be honest.
I think it's like getting the Zune tattoo on yourself.
Oh God.
Remember that guy?
Yeah, that
guy. Yeah, I just saw that guy. I see that guy all the time.
You see him?
I see him like once a year.
Who is he?
So do you.
No.
Where do you see him?
I think he was at our meetup at Ignite.
So do you know the true story about that guy? That guy isn't the Zune guy.
Wait, what?
He's another guy?
He's not the Zune guy?
He looks so much like the Zune guy, but it's not him.
Why do I even talk to him? Why did you tell me that? No, he's a good guy.
Because he said to me at our last meetup, he goes, I know you guys always joke that I'm the Zune guy, but you know I'm not, right?
I didn't know that. I thought he was the Zune guy, but
it wasn't a joke.
That's okay. I still like him.
He's a
good guy.
Actually, you could.
That's funny. I do feel bad for the Zune guy.
Yeah. He got that burned off, didn't he, that tattoo?
Yeah, I don't think that's.
But here's my question.
Yeah, they did remove it.
Did this guy get this tattoo burned off? I gotta show you this guy. He's not Zune.
Uh-oh.
Guy.
Is this an Apple tattoo?
No,
a gold Apple?
It's actually maybe a little bit worse. It's a twit tattoo.
Well, oh, wow.
I'm trying to find this guy to see if he needs an intervention. This was 10 years ago.
He looks like he needs to eat some more.
Well, that's the problem. Is I hope he doesn't get fat, because that twit logo is going to really stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's worse than a Zune tattoo. You could get a twit tattoo.
I don't know that is worse. I'll just point out that twit is still around.
Oh, that's a good point.
Right.
Yeah, we outlived the Zune.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, low bar, but.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
So that should be your tagline for the site. Well, we did outlive the Zune.
We survived the Zune. Let's see. I have another ad. I think I have to do another ad, because somebody's got to pay for all this Apple crap. Or crapple, as some might say. Yep. So I thought I might talk to you a little bit about my belt. Can I show you? Paul, do you wear belts?
I do wear it. Well, not. I mean, I'm wearing shorts right now. But yes, when I wear pants, I wear belts.
You wear belts? Okay. So, and I think women maybe understand this too, but for guys especially, the belt is. It feels like sometimes maybe a medieval torture device. It never quite, yep. You know, there's only a few holes. It never quite fits. It's a little tight sometimes and a little loose other times. And I have to say, I've been told in no uncertain words that I may not let my pants fall down anymore. It's just not okay.
It's prudent, yeah.
Yeah, it would be prudent. So this is my new slide belt. I love this. Actually, they mixed up the belts. But that's actually one of the things you can do with slide belt that's so cool. So this is a twit belt buckle. Don't get a tattoo. Get a twit belt buckle. Why not, right? You can engrave them with anything you want. Slide belts come in a variety of belts. This is a vegan-friendly leather. They have top grain animal hide, which I have full grain leather. And so what happens is you get the belt separate from the buckle. They're easy to interchange, by the way. So you can get, you know, a great buckle and a variety of belts. When you get the belt, it has measurements in here. You can cut it to your rough waist size. But I say rough because it doesn't have to be exact. And I'll show you why. It's the patented slide belt ratchet mechanism. So I'm going to put the end in the buckle here. And now I've got a slide belt. And see, these are the ratchets here. 32 of them. So really, no matter what, you know, your current girth, if I may say, the slide belt the slide belt is going to fit great. You slide it in here. This is the sound Lisa hears every morning as I'm getting dressed. Listen to this. And I adjust it to just, you know, the most comfortable size. And then maybe as the day goes on, I have a large meal or something. You just lift this and slide it out. It silently slides out, by the way. Nobody has to know you're letting it out. And you have so many ratchets. It can always fit just right. No more uncomfortable pants. Slide belts come in a variety of styles, including canvas. Here's a canvas one that I really like. Actually, I call this the Cub Scout model. It's got a blue canvas belt and a antique brass buckle. Isn't that? That's kind of a grown-up Cub Scout model. But there's a whole variety of belts, unisex belts, skinny belts for women, colorful belts for kids, and don't forget the survival belt buckle from Slide Belts. This is Slide Belts by Brig Taylor. This is the only company that puts a knife in your belt that has a bottle opener, okay, and and a flashlight.
Not bring that through TSA.
No. I think you probably shouldn't take this on a flight. It's got a flashlight and a fire starter. So it's really more for camping, I think, than it is for TSA travel. But it's a beautiful, look at that. Wouldn't that be a great groomsmen's gift or maybe a bride gift if your bride likes to hike? This is the survival belt from Slide Belts by Big Taylor. I love this stuff. Coming soon, Slide Belt watches with the same swappable watch bands for customization. I love the idea that I can have a different, you know, keep my survival buckle on, stay away from me, and have a different band depending on my feeling of the day. And they also have some great gift sets. Actually, if you click the gift set tabs, you'll see some really good offers for this time of year. But I should point out that those sets, because they're already discounted, you can't take advantage of our offer code. For everything else, we've got a great offer code, 20% off your order when you use the offer code TWIT. 20% off your entire order. Slide Belts offer, of course, a one-year warranty, free exchanges, no hassle returns, so you gift it with confidence. You know, if your giftee wants to return it, no harm, no foul, it's okay. You won't, though. Once you get this, if you're ready for a better belt, you're going to love your Slide Belts. These are so awesome, and what a great gift. Go to slidebelts.com/twit, slidebelts.com/twit, and use the offer code TWIT, as I said, at checkout. You'll get 20% off your order. slidebelts.com/twit. I think for yourself, get the survival belt. Or give it to the groom. He might need it. Slide Belts by Brig Taylor. Go to slidebelts.com/twit. All right. Now we can move on with some Apple news. but this is not, from my point of view, good news. We talked about when Microsoft's earnings came out a couple of weeks ago, we talked about this. And now Apple's going to do the same thing. And I really feel like this is doing
I mourn this. I wish there was some kind of legislation that would prevent companies from being able to do this. I don't understand why it's legal. And
so Apple's no longer going to say how many units they've sold of anything.
Yeah.
They weren't for a while breaking out things like iPads, I can't remember what they didn't break out, but now they're not going to break out.
They've never broken out Apple TV sales, Apple Watch sales.
Watch sales, that's right. Yeah.
But the primary three lines, back in the day, iPod, and then eventually that stopped when it got too small. iPhone, iPad, and Mac.
Here's what their CFO, Luca Maestri, said. And, you know, maybe this makes a little sense. He says, the nature of our business now, mm-hmm. is really we're making money with return business and services. So we think a more important metric is how much money we make per customer and how much money we make in services and less how many iPhones we sell. Of course, coincidentally, iPhone sales growth were 0% this quarter.
But let me explain why he's full of shit.
Okay.
So
please do.
The problem, here's the thing. One of the interesting things you can track with Apple right until now is you can see how much the average selling price of an iPhone is, which is one of the two primary ways. In fact, it is the primary way they're going to be making more money per customer going forward is you charge them more upfront for a phone, dramatically more.
And we can
see
every one of the average price of phones have gone up considerably.
This metric is something we can tell because we have the numbers. It exists. But over time, what's happening is they have this other business called services, and services has grown to a $10 billion by revenue business. We don't have any insight at all into how that breaks down because they have various services. They have Apple Music, they have iCloud storage, whatever it might be. Now, compared to the iPhone, services is minuscule. It's a tiny, in fact, I wrote something about that over the weekend. It's still very tiny, but you can still chart the change in Apple. And you could look at something, and you, this won't change with unit sales, but you could look at Apple and say, look, a year ago today, 70% of their business by revenue was iPhone sales. They're the iPhone company. If you look at it today, it's about 59%, right? But if you add in that services, most of which probably are coming off of iPhone sales, iPhone users, sorry, you could say, well, actually, it's 79% or 70, you know, whatever, 74%. They're still very much the iPhone company. If you provide both of these things over time, you still have this metric. So you could show, and I think it would be valuable to Apple and to its shareholders and to potential investors, that Apple as a business is evolving and that they are making more money both from the sale of phones and from this new services business. And that's beneficial and transparent for everyone. There's no downside to it. It's you could say, yeah, iPhone sales are stagnant. But you know what? They're stagnant everywhere or down, so we're beating the market that way. We're selling more per phone. And oh, by the way, look at this services thing that's been growing. We're making more per customer in a number of different ways. This is a healthy, diversified business. And you can't say that if you stop showing the other thing. All you can do now is point in isolation to this thing, which we're now comparing. We have no idea where anything comes from. And you say, well, you know, the services business grew by 20%. Okay.
This is their commercial cloud, right? This is their equivalent.
Yeah, but that's sort of, yeah. The funny thing about services, Apple includes everything in services, including the $8 or $9 billion that Google gives them just to be the search engine of Safari. Mm-hmm. That's not really sales. I mean, it's revenue.
It's something you could kind of point at and say, it's money we make on the people who use our products.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I want to talk about that.
Apple today, you know, you talk about business models. It's kind of really interesting. You know, Apple, up until about a year ago, let's say, I think peak iPhone was third quarter, calendar quarter of 2017, I believe. They made money, and I mean, broadly speaking, made money selling physical things to people. And their repeat customers were buying new devices every year, every 2 years, or whatever the time frame was. And they would have new people coming on board and Android switchers and blah, 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 whatever it was. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not the, you know, it's still primarily the way they make money, but the percentage of revenues and whatever is going down because, you know, it's a mature market. This was going to happen eventually.
Right.
But by not giving us a way to compare the future with the past,
right,
they're cutting off anyone, analysts, press, shareholders, potential investors from clearly understanding how their business has evolved or at least changed and whether or not it's healthier or not. Mm. And that's, I think, should be illegal.
Is this the same thing Microsoft's doing, basically?
Yeah, it's exactly the same thing.
It is.
For the same reasons?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Remember, yes, it's exactly the same reasons. Yeah.
Right. You know, earnings anymore is like, we want you to take your eye off this ball and look over here, right?
And it's a lot of
but we don't really want to tell you what's in here.
Yeah, it's a shame. I think it makes our job harder, but it also I think it makes investors' jobs harder.
I think about just think about something like the iPad. I'm kind of doing this off the top of my head, but for several years, iPad sales fell year over year, quarter by quarter, and it happened for I don't remember the time frame, but for a long time, there was either one or two quarters in the past year where iPad revenues for the first time in many many years actually went up compared to the year ago quarter. Both of those jumps were caused not by more expensive iPad Pros or different types of iPads. It was because they lowered the price on the basic iPad. Mm-hmm. They found a way to raise unit sales. And I think this might have in part informed this other thing they've done because it didn't really help. Like we sold more, but we're selling more of this $329, I almost called it a piece of, it's a nice machine actually, but this low-end device. We don't want to sell a $329 iPad. We want to sell it a $799 iPad Pro, you know? Yeah. And if we can't make money that way, we got to find another way to get more money out of these people. And it can't be from you buy a new iPad every couple of years at that price, right? Mm-hmm. There has to be, I think from Apple's perspective, they have higher margin businesses. They have other business or product lines that are doing much better than the iPad. How can we raise this ship in ways that are more meaningful to us financially than just unit sales? They don't want to play in the mass market.
Well, and if there were no consequences to Microsoft for doing this, there's going to be even fewer. I mean, no investor is going to walk away from Apple.
Right, right. Let me have my completely uninformed view of this is that the law is vague and that over time, different companies and different industries have kind of played around with how transparent they need to be. No one ever got in trouble for doing it. Mm-hmm. And it's just we've just kind of slid into it. And if you get these kind of new, younger CFOs going into these established tech companies and they're like fresh out of college and they're like, guys, you don't have to report this stuff. You know, like you just I know this is super simple and I probably sound like an idiot to financial people, but I really I think it's something like that. I don't think the law has changed. I think that these companies have just like devolved the way they report things and they're getting away with it. So they're meeting the letter of the law.
I think it feels to me also uninformed about finances. So talking off the top of my head here, but it feels like a lot of Wall Street analysts care more about seeing what companies are doing in services, especially things like AI, than they care about what you're doing in hardware. It's like, oh yeah, okay, you're making hardware, but what's the future? The future is services, right? The future is this. And that's, I mean, when you talk to Wall Street analysts about Microsoft, they don't think they're being deceptive. They like what they're doing. I have yet to meet one that says, oh man, I wish they disclosed, you know, sales of Surface. They don't, nobody says that. They say, I like that they're doing the commercial cloud.
That's not 70% of Microsoft's business.
But
remember, back in the day, I don't know the exact year when this was the case, but for much of the time I've covered Microsoft and you as well, I would imagine, in recent years anyway. Three big businesses at Microsoft were Office and Server and Windows. And before that, Windows was kind of number one and then Office became bigger. And, I don't remember the exact mix of how these things work, but they were always sort of roughly one third each, you know, most of what Microsoft was from a revenue and profit perspective. And back in those days, basically every quarter, you'd learn about Windows license sales. Remember, we could compare it. I used to run the numbers and say, on average, 17.6 million or 20 million new Windows licenses would come online. Microsoft was really regular about spacing that stuff out so that they could, because what they really wanted was what they're working toward now, which is that subscription style revenue where it is super predictable over time. That's not how those licenses were bought, but they were able to, you know, fudge the numbers to make it look that way because that's what you want, I guess, you know, financially you want that kind of stability. And, you know, there's kind of there was a clear cutness to it. You're counting real things. You know, there are real things you can count. There are metrics that matter that aren't just money or revenues. Because oftentimes with Microsoft, what you talk about is revenues. You don't have no idea if Azure is profitable, if Xbox has ever been profitable or Surface has ever. You just have no idea. They just don't talk about it.
Right.
You know, you don't know what's floating the boat. There's always going to be this part of the company that's going gangbusters and is hugely profitable. And it can cover a lot of the losses that would be happening elsewhere in the business.
True.
You know, Google did that for years and years. And when they split up into Alphabet, you suddenly realize, like, Google makes 173% of their profits or something or some stupid thing, like, because the rest of it is taken to dump somewhere. It's just none of it makes any money.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is not my forte. I know there are people probably screaming at their phones right now or whatever, but it's not, but like Mary Jo, and not for maybe as long, but I've certainly covered Microsoft's financials over the year. I've really decried the lack of transparency that's gotten only worse and worse over the years. And when I see Apple do this, I'm like, yeah, here we go. You know, it's just another company. The one thing I liked about Apple was you could say, hey, here are the numbers. You know, we sold this many Macs. Well, guess what? You're 6 or 7 or 11% of the PC market then. You gave us a number. That's useful. I know it's not everything. You know, people always tell me that market share isn't everything. I know, but it's a hard number. It's still a hard number. Mm-hmm. It's still meaningful.
Mary Jo's showing really great restraint, not pulling out the gong or anything.
I just want to thank you, Mary Jo. She agrees with me. I do agree
with you that it's frustrating for us not to see these numbers. But you know what it does too? Like, it's hilarious to me to watch every time it's earnings season, right? And so many journalists are like, oh, it's time. Like, we're going to learn all this stuff. And I'm like, you're not learning anything, really. Yeah. You know, you're learning what they want you to pay attention to, but you're not really learning all about the company.
This is what the Microsoft graph is really for. It. So Microsoft can pick out the little pieces of their universe that mean nothing that they can show you and say, look, there's a 20% growth over some number we've never told you what it was. You know, we don't, it's huge. You know, we don't know. We don't know.
Yeah. We just don't,
I don't know.
Remember, we used to say that more. We used to say that a lot on this show. We used to say, we just don't know.
Yeah. Now you. Well, now we're going to say it a lot more when it comes to finances because.
Yeah, true.
You know, obviously the SEC, which is the regulatory body that tells companies what they have to, you know, publicly. These are publicly held companies. We're a privately held company. We don't have to tell you anything. But Twitter is. But publicly, although I think we're more forthright often with our information than any of these other companies. But publicly held companies have a certain legal responsibility to file these quarterly reports. It's I think the intent is so that investors can get a clear picture of whether they want to be in the stock or not.
Of course.
Secondary benefit is to us as journalists. But I don't think the SEC cares about journalists.
No. That's not my point. You don't do this because of me or investors.
I mean, it seems like
that's always been my point. And like I said, I don't really follow this industry per se. I don't believe, to my knowledge, I don't think the laws have changed. I don't believe there's been any real deregulation of this industry, other than what I would call kind of a soft deregulation, because they're just not regulating it. Like there's been no challenge to this lack of information that I've ever heard of from anyone toward any company.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, which means to me, no one cares.
They're okay with it.
They're okay with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Clearly they're meeting the standard that everyone agrees on. Except for me.
You don't meet the Paul Theriot standard, but there you go.
I know. I'm used to being the only guy left on the island. I get it. But
I got a more important question, really, one that really resonates to the core of my being.
Mm-hmm.
Should I download PUBG for the Xbox? It's free, right?
I mean, it's free, right? So
why not?
You could give it a shot. I guess,
bought it. I think the sad thing is I bought it.
The performance is disappointing. And if you like this kind of game, frankly, I think Fortnite or even the Blackout mode in Black Ops 4, Call of Duty, is a better experience.
I imagine.
But at least it's free.
Keeping my disc, my powder dry and my disc clear for Fallout 76 in one week. That's exciting.
See, I was okay with this game until they did their 76ers tie-in, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to deal with these people anymore.
It's like having
the truth comes out.
1970 Detroit Pistons on your team. Who wants that?
Oh, God.
And it's coming to the PlayStation 4 as well. No more exclusivity for Xbox.
Yeah, it's widely rumored, right, for years or for the last year or so. I think we always knew this was a short time deal on Xbox. But my only issue with it is, you know, we had a year and that's great. But the thing is, it wasn't even available as only available in preview form through September.
Yeah. And it's not that good. Get Fortnite.
That's my opinion. You know, opinions vary.
And what's the blackout mode? Is that a battle royale version of Call of Duty?
Yeah. So the latest Call of Duty has a blackout, a battle royale game mode called Blackout, which is, more like Fortnite than PUBG, I guess. Although it maybe looks a little more like PUBG, because it's Call of Duty. If that makes sense. So it's more about destruction and creation, I guess, is what I would say.
I think they learned the Fortnite lesson that you shouldn't charge for the game. Give it away and make money on dance moves.
Yes.
I was talking with Lisa about the whole NFL dance move thing. Because, you know, for many years, you couldn't really taunt the other team by doing an elaborate dance move.
Which is what you want from professional sports, by the way. But continue.
I was watching the Cowboys game the other night. I guess it was Monday Night Football.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember who they were playing. The opposing team, was it a sack or an interception or something, runs to the star in the middle of Dallas's field and goes, you know, does a taunt dance And I'm saying, sure, they're going to throw a flag. No. And I realized, oh, I know why they changed the rules last year. Fortnite and similar games.
I was going to say, I know why, too, because you were watching a Dallas game on Monday night, and it was terrible. And the only interesting thing that possibly could have happened was a guy dancing in the end zone.
But I think that the NFL has said, oh, no, the kids, they like the taunt dance moves because it's in all the games.
We go to baseball games, and there's this stuff up on the Jumbotron that's like people dancing. And I never understood what it was. And I play video games, you know. And then eventually someone kind of said something about Fortnite. And I was like, wait a minute. Is that what this is?
Yes.
Like, this is like invaded culture now?
It's native culture.
That's too bad.
And honestly, I really feel like that's what's happening in the NFL. Is there? But it didn't start with Fortnite. I mean, World of Warcraft, well, you had those moves where you taunt. It's been around for a while.
No, I know. But I think we've had enough head injuries in the NFL that this suddenly seems like a good idea. We're going to let these guys. Yeah, I just don't.
You can have. Am I the only? I mean, you can have. Team,
this is just like the money thing. Like, I feel like I'm alone moves. In this one. Like, when I go to the game, I want to watch the game.
Not people dancing. You're not alone.
What is this entertainment that occurs
insulting.
Around the game?
It's insulting. I dislike it.
We're here for the game.
Paul, even you are not such a curmudgeon. You don't love the kiss cam.
Dude.
Do you know what the kiss cam is, Mary Jo?
Yes,
I do.
Course.
I know Paul I knows. You know what it is.
I do.
In Boston,
it's no Delta, my friend.
The Delta Dental cam would come on in the Celtics games. I'd be like, guys,
it's a Delta
there is
Dental
a basketball
kiss
game
cam.
Occurring. No, right, it's right in front of you. That ticket cost $80.
I know. But, you know, there a lot of us get dragged to sporting events, and you want some diversions.
It's for
like
you.
Dance
yeah, that's what we want to
and now,
the guys that got dragged
the
there against their wills. Like,
kiss cam.
let's accommodate those people.
Actually,
you know, maybe they'll come back.
Have you ever been to a minor league game? Do you ever go see, like, the you know, the Warwick Blue Sox or something?
No.
If you go to a minor
the
league.
No. Red Sox, I think, is what the name you're looking for.
We had up here in Rohnert Park. We had the Sonoma County Crushers. They were called, and it's minor league baseball. So that, you know, you're watching basically a guy who's
baseball's good.
Well, it's not triple A. It's single A.
Oh,
so
no,
you're
no,
basically
no.
watching a guy who's a carpenter by day, right?
Yep.
And he's likes to play a little ball, and sure. So the only way they get people in the stands is they do crazy stuff throughout the game. Every inning, you know, there's the one where they put a baseball bat on home plate and the kids line up and they put their forehead on the baseball bat and they go around and around and around and around and then try to run to first base. Yeah, Mary Jo knows what I'm talking about.
I do. Yep.
So do I, as you can tell from the expression on my face.
And I'm like, thank goodness they do that. Otherwise, what are we sitting there for?
The Crushers used to have a contest. If you win it, like the next game, you get to sit in this big purple Barca lounger, like out on practically on the field to watch the game. Like you put your feet up.
That's your reward.
That's the prize.
I know. I'm just gonna get worse as I get older. There's no relief for me.
This
stuff is always
people like you something to complain about.
Well, I'm not really looking for something to complain about. That's the thing. It just finds me. I'm.
We just need to buy him that get off my lawn shirt, and so he can watch the game.
I went to.
I was super concerned about my lawn, but I would like the sanctity of the game to be preserved. You know?
I went to a hockey game and a fight broke. No, I went to a fight and a hockey game broke out.
I will say hockey is a sport I'm not particularly interested in, and I don't know if it's because of the ice or whatever it is, but. Hockey, in my experience, and I've seen both, I don't know what the minor league thing is called, but, you know, minor league and as well as professional hockey games are among some of the best sporting events you can ever see because it's pretty much just the sport. There isn't a lot of other baloney. There's a little bit of the, you know, shoot
it's
t-shirts.
It's also fast-paced, which it makes it better. I'd rather watch hockey any day than baseball.
Basketball's fast-paced, too. I mean, you know, basketball... It's like the game has gone on too long without a timeout. They just call a TV timeout. Now, like, they're trying
that. On football, you know, if you're in a TV game, which every game is now, they got a guy with big red gloves on down on the field.
He's oh, got God.
The big red
hope
gloves.
You don't have any momentum going, guys. We got it. You know, Nestle's got a product they're trying to sell.
The only good sport.
Talk to the control room to say, okay. Stop the game. We're going to a commercial. Or
only good sport, World Cup, because you can't stop the game.
You can't stop it. I love it. There's no commercials.
It's awesome.
And then there's 3,000 commercials as soon as the game's over.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah.
No, I love that part. I agree with you. That's the best part of World Cup.
What has happened? This is like, you know, Mary Jo giving me sports advice is like Mary Jo giving me like burger advice.
Like it is pretty much.
Every 4 years, something wonderful happens.
Yeah, the Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
It's also the
election.
You
don't watch the Olympics, do you?
Yeah, every Olympics.
Mary
absolutely.
Jo, you know who you're talking to here, right? This guy will watch any sport.
No, the Olympics are awesome. Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me? Sorry.
No, I'm not kidding you.
We're talking about the Summer Olympics, Mary Jo, not those boring
Winter Olympics.
Olympics
too.
Guys, the Olympics are even worse than baseball.
The Olympics are the only time it's okay to watch ice skating. I don't. It is.
I tried to bring my daughter awesome. When Abby was little. I tried to bring her to a baseball game, and she has the same exact opinion as you, Mary Jo Foley. And she said, "Why don't these seats? Why don't they make them so they turn around so I could face away from the game?" Wow. Words of wisdom from the young. She also, I took the whole family to a Niners game, got 50-yard line seats to see them retire Jerry Rice's number. Mm. Yep. And they left at halftime.
Wow.
Anyway, yeah. let's take a little break.
Let's talk about esports.
What did you talk about? Have you talked about my Surface Book yet?
No, we're going to do that next, Brad. Bradley, he's wearing those Surface headphones, isn't he?
He is.
He like
them? I'm going to tie this tip to what we just talked about.
Oh, good. Go go to work. Do your writing magic, Paul.
speaking magic in this case, but
speaking
but first,
well, you have to write it first, then you can speak it. While I talk about Captera, how about that? Captera, you know, the new year's coming, and I know what happens towards the end of the year. It gets a little slow around the office, right? And the boss gets an idea. Let's automate. All right, we're going to go out and get software for our CRM, or we're going to get. Let's go get. All right, and then he goes to you. And says, all right, your job is to find the best dental office management software. And what do you do? Do you Google it? I know some of you will actually call me on the radio show. Like, I know. I don't know. What you should be doing is going to Captera. Find software for your business fast with Captera. Captera is a free directory of all the best business software with hundreds of thousands of real reviews written by real users. A great ability to compare head-to-head different software. So you can have checkboxes, say, I need this feature, I don't need that feature. You'll get all those software, and they have so many that, you know, you can really narrow it down and still get 12 different programs and then do a head-to-head comparison, which ones are web-based, which ones are hard drive-based, which, you know, and it's amazing. And it's completely free. 600 categories of business software, hundreds of thousands of real user reviews, and right now they have something free for you. It's called the Big Book of Free Software. 300 different software tools, all of them completely free. The book is free, and it's just a way to get you to go to Captera.com/windows, because when you're there, you might also want to use the Captera search engine. But you know what? The book is a great thing to have. 300 absolutely free programs that do everything from project management to e-commerce to email marketing, everything you might need. It's actually a great idea starter, because maybe you don't know that there's software to do this or that, and then now you know you might want to do it. Captera, Captera.com/windows. The big book of free software is free. The service is free. It's great. There's no sign up. It's easy. Just go to Captera.com/windows. Millions of people use Captera each month. It's the best kept secret for business software. But I don't want it to be a secret anymore. Captera.com/windows. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. I think it's back of the book time. So let us invite Paul Thurrott to step to the podium with his pick of the week or tip of the week, whichever you want to do here. You want to do a tip?
Co-worker at BWW is serious, is working on a book called Below This.
He fits right over you perfectly.
He does.
Yeah, no, he thinks so as well. he's written a book called Below a Surface, which is kind of the history of Microsoft Surface
business.
What's
it called? Below a Surface?
No, it's not called that, Leo. It's called Below a Surface.
Oh, that's I get it.
Yep. I think this is going to fascinate people
name.
Who are watching this podcast, but, you know, people into this kind of industry and stuff. So the story, he tells a lot of stories, a lot of inside stories. In fact, there's a bunch of scoops in here that I won't reveal, but I just edited the chapter about the NFL deal. And the interesting kind of historical side note to that is that the NFL and Microsoft linked up to do a special viewing mode for NFL games on Xbox One consoles. Not to use Surface devices. And Tammy Reller apparently was the first person who was kind of approached with this thing. And they were like, well, maybe we could, you know, we hear tablets are big. Maybe we could use some of your tablets. And she was completely uninterested in that. But it eventually found its way to Yusuf Mehdi and the deal kind of changed over time. But it's possible that Surface would not have continued as a brand had they not done this deal, because it actually got the brand out into the world at a time when the brand had kind of failed. You know, they had their first disastrous launch of Surface RT. The devices weren't selling very well. And this constant promotion of Surface on the NFL actually might have saved the brand.
Wow. You know, I was watching the election coverage on MSNBC. The whole team
had Surface Pros.
Yep. Surface Pros.
Yep.
And with very prominent Windows logos. I take it that was like the NFL deal, right?
The NFL does even better because you see Surfaces. It's
everywhere.
It's, you know, very prominent. Yeah. And obviously there were some mistakes in the beginning. A bunch of people referred to them as
iPads.
iPads. Bill Belichick infamously tried to grind one
into
the ground.
Go get your iPad there and we'll take a look at this play.
No, but you know what? After a rough start, actually that thing's really worked out for them. That,
in a way,
that
them calling it an iPad was a good thing. It got more attention as a result, I think. Right?
Well, anyway, Surface
and Bill
is still
Belichick
around,
and throwing it like a frisbee that really got some attention. And
just want to point out the problem was the Wi-Fi, not the device.
I like the big blue rubber thing. It's the same thing that Amazon puts on the Kindle for kids. It's great. It protects it against.
It's the thing they put on that little probe that they launched at Mars, and it kind of rolls around on the ground and pops out of it. You know.
I love those iPads.
Anyway, it will be available, I think, by the end of this month. I've got probably another week or so of editing to go, and then...
Oh, he let you edit it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it's been an interesting thing, you know.
Really? I'm ignoring everything he says.
I'd forgotten parts of the story. It's very interesting, so I think people will like it.
It's called Below the Surface.
No, it's not. Below. I don't know why. Again, domain names are hard, but that was part of the reason. Below the Surface might have made more sense, but that's taken by, I don't know, a mortuary company or whatever it is.
It's called Below Surface. Two words.
yeah, below.
Four syllables, two words.
Yeah.
Below Surface.
Yes.
Dive!
So, also, it is the beginning of the month. I think the last time we did the show... must have been, it was Halloween, right? So actually the Xbox Game Pass stuff might have just become available in that day. This is a particularly good month for this, especially the first half of the month. So if you have, I'm sorry, not Xbox Game Pass. I'm losing my mind. Let me look it up. Games with Gold, not Game Pass. But Xbox Games with Gold became available a day early. So it's Battlefield 1. On the Xbox One and Assassin's Creed, the original one on Xbox 360. Those are awesome games. So make sure you snag those. And then this is kind of apropos of nothing other than the fact that I love Audible, but they have this Audible Originals thing.
I love these.
And every month you get your choice. Yeah. So you can pick two of these things. Here's why this is awesome, aside from the fact that these things are free. This has caused me to listen to stuff that I would never have listened to.
I have found some things that I
love. So like last month, the big thing for me was the... God, I just forgot his name. Jeez, I'm losing my head here. Let me just look it up. Sorry. Let me do this month first. This month, Nick Offerman, who is the kind of actor, comedian, whatever, is doing this thing called Twain's Feast. Yeah. This is unbelievably good, and it's just basically what someone had read the Mark Twain book. I think it's called Vagabond in Europe, or
Vagabond's
whatever
the
name of that was.
Yeah,
Abroad in Europe, or whatever it was, but. A Vagabond Abroad or something like that. Yeah. But it, basically this guy was traveling in Europe and he was missing home and he started making a list of all the food that he missed from his childhood and when he was growing up. And he was like, I'm going to have this 81 course meal or whatever when I get back. And he never actually did it, but they took this thing, broke it down into parts, and they do an 8-course meal with other writers and comedians and whatever, a famous chef. And they tell you the history of all of these food items. They have raccoon and turtle soup and trout, and it is astonishingly good. It's really, really good.
I had there are six of them each month, and I had a really pick two.
You could choose two.
I had a hard time. I ended up picking. I almost picked that one, but I wanted the Stephen Fry's Victorian Secrets. Yep.
I almost took that one,
and then I got the I Have a Nice Day, which is basically a play with Dick Cavett, Billy Crystal, Annette Bening, Kevin Kline. Yeah.
This was a tough month because those were both interesting.
They're all good.
This month, the other one I took was called Strong Ending. And it's basically these people who come back from war and they have PTSD. Right. And one of the ways you can deal with this is you can start telling, you get in front of people and you tell jokes. And I have not listened to it yet, but last month's thing was called Hi Bob. So it's Bob Newhart. Sorry, I couldn't remember his name.
I loved Hi Bob. That was great.
Hi Bob is amazing. It's basically just 3.5 hours of him having conversations with famous comedians. And it is awesome.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah. And then I got the, and I love this too, the Carey Mulligan Boys and Girls, which is a one woman show that's off Broadway. You can hear it's a whole recording of a one woman show. So Audible's, we should mention a sponsor. They're not buying this segment, but I agree with you.
This is what I've been listening to. This has been my last couple of books.
My books on the back burner, which is a shame.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. You know what? A good audiobook is like a good Netflix series. It's hard because when you're in the middle of it, it's amazing and you don't want it to end, and then it does. And then the next thing is always terrible.
Yeah.
And when you don't have something else, it's awful.
No, I agree.
And when you can do these kind of back-to-back things like this where they're all really good, it's excellent.
And the originals tend to be shorter. They tend to be not a full-size book, although some of them are.
Which I really appreciate.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love them. One of the ones I chose last month wasn't fantastic. But it was short, so it was like an hour. Right. And I'm like, whatever. I kind of got through. It was fine. Yep. It's okay. It's not like I bought a 44-hour Stephen King thing and didn't like it.
We're listening to The Outsider right now. Lisa and I try to have one book the two of us listen to, and it's The Outsider. It's a little slow moving, but it's still gripping because it's like, what's going on?
Yeah, it's a good one. I listened to that when it first came out. I always do the Stephen King stuff like the day it comes out. So by the way.
Yeah, I remember you recommended it. That's why we got it.
His latest book is called Elevation, and it was terrible.
Oh,
so
thank you.
That one just came out, last week. And it's short. It's only, in fact, it's shorter than its running time because there's two stories on the recording. But it's not, I'm going to have to go read reviews. I don't even understand the point of it. I didn't think it was very good.
And do you have an app pick of the week?
I do. Microsoft just released Microsoft Launcher 5 for Android. This is the version that adds timeline support, right? So they talked about this back in May at Build. And the timeline feature is actually in beta, so you have to enable it. But Microsoft Launcher is their Android launcher replacement, right? So it's a full-featured launcher. It has all the UI stuff and whatever. But what timeline means is that you can swipe over from the home screen. And instead of seeing a feed or your calendar items or whatever, you can see your timeline like you see on Windows 10 when you hit the task view button or you do Windows key plus tab. And because it's cross-device and it's matched up to your Microsoft account, you'll see all of the apps and documents you worked on across all of your devices, Windows PCs and Android phones. And if you were, for example, working on a Word document on your PC and now you're commuting to work or whatever and you want to do a couple little edits, it's right there. You don't have to go kind of try to find it somewhere in OneDrive or through the Word app or whatever. You'll see it listed by date, with the device name you were on, et cetera, et cetera. So this is a key part of Microsoft's cross-device strategy. So it's finally, kind of starting to happen. When you tie this to if you combine this, I guess I would say, with the your phone app on Windows 10, you can kind of see how you can kind of go back and forth and use the two devices together in ways that weren't possible previously. So it's kind of interesting.
Nice.
iOS users, you're out of luck. But eventually, I don't think it's there yet, but eventually Microsoft Edge, the web browser app for iOS, will also offer a view of the timeline so you can access it from that app as well. But I don't think that's out yet. And then just a quick note, if you use Microsoft Swift Key, they are now testing in beta something that should have been there a couple of years ago, but basically it's a Bing search button right in the keyboard. So Google does this already. I would imagine, I don't really know that much about other mobile keyboards. I wouldn't be surprised if Samsung's keyboard already had this or Apple's did, but basically what you're going to do is have a search button in the middle, you know, at the top of the keyboard. When you hit it, a pane expands and you can search for images, search for text, whatever it might be. And that, and the idea here is that you're working on something. It could be a text message or an email or whatever it is. And you want to reference something, get a hyperlink. And instead of switching back and forth different apps, you can just do the search right from there. And you never leave the thing you're working on. Get the link or whatever it is. Go back onto the thing you're working on and it will be right there. It's not available in the publicly shipping version, but anyone can get the beta. So if you want the beta version of Microsoft SwiftKey, you can check that out right now.
Very cool. Now we shift gears to Mary Jo Foley and her code name of the week.
This is actually not a code name.
Oh, Enterprise pick of the week. Sorry.
I know. You know what? It sounds like a code name, and I wondered.
Yeah.
I wondered if it was one when I first heard it. The Enterprise pick is called Kaizala, K-A-I-Z-A-L-A. And I remember a few years ago when Microsoft came out with this originally, it was a Microsoft Garage incubation project, but it was just for the Indian market. And in one of the Indian languages, it's supposedly a rough translation of what happened. Oh. Kaizale.
Okay.
So I kind of ignored it, I admit. I knew it was this messaging app. It was sort of like WhatsApp, except aimed at business customers. And it doesn't have a video component, but it lets you kind of chat among yourselves if you're a department or a group or even across a company and just kind of have a self-contained chat app. Well, it turns out they've decided to commercialize it. There's a free version of this that's a standalone version. There, you can also subscribe to it for $1.50 per user per month if you want to have the pro version, which adds some reporting capabilities and other things. But the interesting part and the reason I made it the pick this week is Microsoft is starting to roll Kaizala out for free if you have an Office 365 commercial subscription as part of your subscription. It's going to be turned off by default, but if your administrator wants to turn it on, you're going to have this extra chat app for use in your company if you want it. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, I have to say. Some people are like, oh, this is awesome. Like, we get this free chat app. Other people are like, oh, my goodness, another communications app from Microsoft. They have Teams. They have Skype. They have Skype for Business. They have Yammer. And now they have this. So what are we supposed to use where? So I think it's good that they're giving people this as an optional free chat app if you somehow find a need for it and want to deploy it. But I have to also agree with some of the critics that now there's another Microsoft chat / communications app that you have to decide if it's right for your company and how it fits into your whole organizational scenario.
Okay.
Kaizala.
And it does sound like a code name.
It does.
Sounds like an incantation.
Kaizala.
It's the final name of the product, so yeah.
And there's one name I can pronounce. That's Office 365. Enterprise pick number two.
So I don't know if you guys heard about this, but a couple weeks ago, Microsoft sent out, I think through the Office 365 portal, a note to people saying, hey, this is going to be cool. We're going to start automatically rolling out through email tips to users about how to use Office 365 products, tips and tricks. And many administrators immediately freaked out. And they're like, wait, this is going to look like phishing to people. Like, we've been training them not to click on this, right?
Good point.
And so there was so much outcry that Microsoft has now, quote, paused its plan to automatically start pushing out these tips through Office 365. They have not canceled it. They say they're taking it under consideration and figuring out what to do next about it. So if you're somebody who's an IT administrator and you're dead set against this, you should weigh in with Microsoft and tell them why. I also heard from some people who thought it was a good idea, and they said, you know what? I think it's good. Our users would like to have this free extra training, but I think they shouldn't have made it something they were pushing, even though it was shut off by default. I think they should have made it an optional. If you want to add this in, you can. Instead of everybody's getting this, it'll be there, but it will be something you can shut off.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it's paused for now.
And I have another question that's completely off topic, but I notice in your headline you use the word FLAK, F-L-A-K.
Yes, this isn't my story, but yeah.
Oh, it's Liam Tongues.
It should be CK.
Should it or not?
Shouldn't it?
I think Paul might have an opinion, since he is an expert on warfare, thanks to his many, many years playing Call of Duty.
I'm listening, yep.
Because there's a flak is something that you...
Oh, flak from a plane, from a like the back of a plane.
Yeah, when they...
It's
when
they, K, oh, no. Not CK.
That's what I thought.
That
yeah, you're right.
Kind of
no, it's correct.
With a K.
So it is correct. Yeah.
It is correct, yep. It's both the aircraft, anti-aircraft fire and strong criticism.
Yes. Both.
So what's the C? The C is like flak,
so
like a PR flak.
What about the
flak?
Spelling yes, F-L-A-Q-U-E?
No, no,
what does that mean?
I'm a flak. Q-U-E.
Is there such a spelling?
That's a kind of, it's a kind of...
Is that like the French version of flak?
No, it's a kind of pudding.
Is it really?
No.
No.
Someone asked me one time how my son's name was spelled. My son's name is Mark, and I said M-A-R-Q-U-E.
One of my college roommates yeah. spelled it M-A-R-C-Q-K.
Jeez. Wow.
Now we move on to the highlight, really, I think everybody agrees, of the show.
Yes.
Beer!
Yes, so this week for the beer pick, I'm picking a brown ale from Cigar City Brewing in Tampa, Florida. So Cigar City makes a lot...
That's an infelicitous combination.
But wait till you hear.
Okay.
How has that word come up twice today?
Infelicitous twice.
So the name of this brown ale is called Cigar City Cubano Espresso,
ooh, okay.
Which also sounds kind of like an oxymoron, right?
That's why it's brown, though. Okay.
Right.
I get it. Yeah.
So it's a brown ale made with, quote, Cuban style roasted espresso beans. Oh, and yeah. I was like, what does that mean?
Oh, that's
and
the
so then
right.
You look at the description on Beer Advocate and it says Cuban espresso is a popular drink in Cigar City in Tampa because it has many Sicilian and Cuban immigrants.
Yes.
So if you
not
like the flavors
rum
of
in it.
no rum in this beer. It's
is there Coca-Cola?
No Coca-Cola. Yeah. Just Cuban style espresso beans.
Now Cubano coffee is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Love it.
So if you like the coffee toffee kind of light English style brown flavors, this is your beer.
Yay. Yep. I'm a happy man. Go and get me some Cubano style espresso brown ale. We have a new sponsor, which I'll talk about later. But we should send you one of these. It's called Hopsy, H-O-P-S-Y. Yeah. Do you know about that?
What is it? No.
It's like a little pony keg that you install
mm-hmm.
in your refrigerator, and they send you different beers from all over the country.
Oh, cool.
So I'm excited because yeah. I'm going to get – and they also do ciders and kombucha.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I think it's small. It looks pretty small. Like you could go put it in your fridge. I don't know. I have to look at
mini,
it. You might plug it in.
A
just
mini
got one.
Keg.
Yeah, it's like
cool.
It's like a pony.
I'm surprised that never took off. You know, I know there were a couple of beers you could get, and I think Heineken might have been one of them, which is terrible, mm-hmm. but it's kind of a mini keg thing, and you can – yeah, it's a good idea. I'm just kind of curious.
They'll probably – I mean, I imagine they're going to want to buy Windows Weekly since we're all a bunch of drunks, so
– yes.
No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
Because of
I mean, we
pick.
Do have an alcohol pick literally every week.
We do.
You know, if I asked, every show would have one. I know that there'd be no problem getting the other guys to do that as well.
Oh,
you
no,
know,
I don't think it's a problem. I'm just saying she thought of doing it.
Like, and, you know, we have to deal with things like 1809 and stuff. You need a beverage
you need
for that.
It's a wonder
nice
we don't drink more,
beverage.
Leo. Yeah. You know?
Just drink responsibly, kids.
Yes.
Actually, kids mm-hmm. don't drink at all.
Well,
right.
Yeah.
Adults should drink responsibly. Can it be? We've already come to the end of the show. Such
yeah.
a great show. Thank you, Paul Theriot. You'll find his work at Theriot.com. That's his blog. It's also his site. It's his everything.
It's my be-all and my end-all.
It's his be-all and his end-all. And it's not just Paul. There's other great people. It's a really good site for Windows watchers. Mm-hmm. And don't forget, of course, his books, including The Field Guide to Windows 10, available at leanpub.com. Mary Jo Foley writes for ZDNet, files regularly at allaboutmicrosoft.com. And together they make Windows Weekly happen every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Now 1900 UTC if you want to stop by and watch live at twit.tv/live. You can listen live too. We have an audio and video stream. You can also get, if you do that, by the way, join in the chat room. Lots of nice people in there, irc.twit.tv. And you can also get on-demand versions of all of our shows, either at our website, twit.tv/ww, or subscribe in your favorite podcast application. You'll get it automatically the minute it's available. Paul, Mary Jo, thank you. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.
Thanks.
On Windows Weekly.